2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good Wednesday! This is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. With that, you get access to our Domination Station, VIP articles and tools, and of course, the Slack chat channel where you can chat with me, Bear, Keith, Geek, and the rest of the DFS Army. Once again, that's DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST for 10% off each month of your subscription. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. Find Shy Moshe, a.k.a. Bear, Mr. Bear here. So, Bear, first pod for us in a couple days here together, and you love the slate here. I love it too, but I do want to talk about some of these bad scheduling situations that we got for a few teams here today. The Sherry Ma list has come back into relevance for us once again, and for those of you who don't know who Sherry Ma is, just an absolute whiz in terms of sleep studies and all that kind of stuff. She's hired by all the major leagues. And she came out with an article on ESPN this season, really just discussing which teams are going to be in tough spots because, you know, they're playing four games in 6 days. You got teams that are, you know, going into a different time zone, losing an hour of sleep. So we definitely have that today. And the teams that are involved in this today, you know, should have been more prepared here. I got the list. So, first of all, we got the Bucks, right? And, you know, again, this is listed as a Sherry Ma game. Back end of a back-to-back for them. They played at Washington last night on a primetime game. These games typically go a little longer than usual. You know, first of all, they're later and, you know, more commercial breaks as well. So, this is also a stretch where it dates back to their third game in 4 days and their fourth and sixth. Obviously, Antetokounmpo going to be, you know, heavy on the minds of most after what he did last night. But, you know, he hasn't done well historically against the Pistons. So we will get to him when we get to the small forwards. Just something that you should be aware of with Milwaukee. And then the other Sherry Ma game tonight is Charlotte, who they played at home last night against Chicago. They're going to be in Boston tonight. But the stretch for them, third game in 4 days, fourth game in 6 days, fifth game in 7 days. So certainly something that, you know, they're definitely going to be tired. I would not expect them to be. And they're going up against a very good defensive team here in the Boston Celtics. And then last but not least, we got the Washington Wizards back in of a back-to-back. And again, they have that stretch that goes all the way back to five games in 7 days. I don't know how that one wasn't listed on the Sherry Ma list, especially since they're playing Golden State tonight. But
yeah,
any of those spots really stick out to you in particular?
I mean, that Washington game was a barn burner.
Right.
It was on national TV. First of all, it was a fantastic game.
Indeed. Both games, fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. Comebacks and close endings there was really good. I'll talk about the second game here in a minute because that was probably the best game I've seen all year. I'm a little bit... that's that kind of understanding. I'm very much concerned about the Wiz. I think that both Steph and KD are going to have their bounce back games. Not that they've been bad, but they haven't been explosive because they haven't needed to be. They've been kicking butt lately. And I think they come out and you know, we all know about the narrative for KD coming back to Washington where he's from, which, by the way, hasn't worked well historically speaking.
No, especially the last two. You know, we can get to that a little bit later. But
yeah, one of them he hurt his knee, but that's. Yeah. I kind of feel bad for the Wiz going into this game.
And Vegas certainly has it mapped out too. I mean, the Warriors are 9-point favorites in this. And again, this is the Wizards who have been playing some of the best basketball in the NBA. So I felt like that was pretty telling. yes. there for the Wizards to be 9-point underdogs. And, you know, who knows? Maybe it gets a little higher if people, you know, because it's funny, right? Like, I know myself, I used to gamble on NBA games, and I did not look at anything like this. So the casual guy probably looking at it like, oh, you know, hey, Wizards are only 9-point favorites, or 9-point underdogs. You know, mm-hmm. they've been playing such great ball. Well, you know, there's a reason why Vegas does what they do, folks.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. Absolutely right. But to be frank, I think even 9 points is kind of generous. I would have expected more like 13.5. But,
oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the Warriors are on some rest, and they've been in Washington for a little bit and kind of comfy. Been wearing their PJs for a couple days.
Good
and,
city. Good, D.C., great city.
This is a great city, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and then the second game, I mean, it's not technically the second, but the second on TNT. Wow. If you remember yesterday, Al, I was early in the morning. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait for the Clippers and Nuggets game. I mean, those two teams, because of the playoff implications and the seeding, and, you know, they're fighting each other to get in and one gets out, and you had Paul Millsap coming back, which most of us all day were pretty confident he was going to play. And for those of you that played him, it paid off pretty nice.
Well, I used him, but I did not cash. I just missed the cash lines for like the third straight night in a row. It's getting, you know, it's the, I'm usually the min cash king where I'm on the right side of that green line. But, you know, last few nights been on the left side of that green line.
Well,
so
that sucks to hear. Here's what's funny. So I did pretty well yesterday.
Just barely.
I did pretty well yesterday, and a lot of our members were sharing screenshots of me up at the top of different contests.
Nice.
It was kind of funny to see. I'm like, damn it, I can't hide anymore. I'm out there. But yeah, it was he. I had him like 50-60% exposure. Nice. Just because of everything we saw that day. I mean, he was gonna play, right? So
yeah, definitely. Like you heard, you know, he cried when he got to the practice arena. And I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna. And then somebody tweeted out, it's gonna take an army to stop Millsap from playing tonight. So, all right, these are the things we're doing behind the scenes. We were all pretty confident in last night. Millsap, I mean, below, he was single digit ownership pretty much everywhere last night. So
that it was like 5-6% max.
Yeah, and that was on FanDuel, not even on DraftKings, where he's much more expensive. So, and he still would have paid off over there as well, so that's nice. Somebody asked me the question today because, you know, when I posted the depth chart hub, I said, you know, be aware of these situations that these teams are on. And he said, would you totally avoid the teams in this situation? So I answered mostly yes, you know, unless great value opens up. But I got, like, that was just kind of a quick answer. But, I mean, like, I think Charlotte tonight is very interesting, right? I think Zeller is officially ruled out. If he's not, he's doubtful. But, you know, we did see Dwight Howard have a lot of great games when Zeller wasn't in the lineup, just because mm-hmm. he was, like, the only playable center option for the Hornets. So I think that's interesting. And, of course, Jeremy Lamb, you know, if MKG is going to be out, he's going to see, you know, some nice runs. So I think there are some spots that you can go to. But overall, I'm not really excited about most of these teams, especially with so many other games on the slate.
Yeah, I've got maybe two plays from that game that I like for Charlotte, and that's about it. And some of those are predicated on injury news. You mentioned MKG. You mentioned you mentioned Dwight. Dwight's probable, but still not 100%. So, you know, we'll give you some plays there in case he sits. But yeah, let's hop into the point guards.
Let's do it. And I forgot to do it yesterday, but Pod is now.
Now.
All right. These point guards. You got some high quality at the top here. You got Russell Westbrook. You got Stephen Curry. You've even got Kyrie Irving. If it's an ABC situation, I don't know if I want to do that because the prices are kind of all over the place. But any interest in these top guys here?
Well, so the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 times we played Russ, he didn't hit value, but he was also over 12K. Right. He's at 11.6 now. He gets Dallas, which is a pretty plus matchup in terms of defense. Dennis Smith Jr. being a rookie is not the greatest on D. I don't like it though. First of all, I don't like the implied odds for his team. One of the lowest on the slate, and he's the most expensive point guard. What's the over-under look like on that crazy game? 211, not the worst, but far from the best. It's like second lowest on the slate, man. So, third lowest. So yeah, I'm not too in love with that one. I really like Steph. I like Steph here. You know, last time we were all excited that he was in Madison Square Garden and he was going to put up 60, and he put up like 30. I think that might get some people maybe a little bit off of him. He's got Satoransky, who's tall, lengthy, but he's not going to be able to contain Steph by any stretch. Their implied odds are just over 117 points. You know, we know they're tired, they being Washington. We know they're tired. So if I'm picking between those two, it's going to be Steph. And I also really like what I see here from Kyrie as well.
All right. Yeah, I'm not like too thrilled by most of these guys at the top. I will say this, if you're into signs from above, Russell Westbrook has done incrementally better in each game against Dallas this season. He started off with a 47.5. You know, again, we'll just round it for both sites here, but we'll say at 47, 57, and then about a 75 in these games against Dallas this season. You mentioned it, just an absolutely fantastic matchup against this backcourt that Dallas has. I could be tempted to go that way. I like some lower cost options though today. I think this is gonna be one of the days where I try to cut some corners here.
I mean, I know you love going cheap at point guard. I know that. But I'd be remiss if I don't mention another top guy.
All right.
Going back to his roots, his former team that he spent so many years with, Chris Paul, going back to Staples to play the Clippers. He's 8,400, which he's still low. He's been, you know, hasn't been that low all season. He's on a day's rest. The Clippers are not. The Clippers just played last night, as we talked about.
In Denver
versus a really tough Denver team and a really fast pace. I mean, that game was up and down. It was nuts.
Yeah.
The Boban takeover was real. but yeah, I think I like Chris Paul. Maybe even over Russell Westbrook at this point.
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Considering their price differences.
Yeah, I was definitely going to say I can definitely get behind that because of the price. You got the revenge narrative here as well. So here's an interesting, I guess, thought for this game is that, remember we talked last week. I was like, oh, I've only seen like one Clipper game. Well, I've seen like all of them lately. And, you know, I really like this new core guys that they got all together. You know, with getting Blake Griffin out of there, you add Tobias Harris to the mix. I mean, hell, we saw Boban even getting in last night. I mean, I don't think that they could do that against the Rockets tonight just because the Rockets are going to be, you know, probably going smaller. But, I just like the way this team plays. So I feel like the spread on this game, I know they definitely factored in that the Clippers had a play, or that the Clippers were in Denver last night.
Yeah.
So, I still think that this game stays a little closer than usual. I mean, Lou Williams has had some really good games against the Rockets this season. We'll get to that in a sec. But, again, I think the game stays close. I don't think it's going to be like a massive blowout or any stretch of the imagination. So,
yeah, I agree.
A team like the Clippers not playing defense as it is already. So, I think we're going to see a good amount of points in this game. And, again, it just lends hand to the fact that there are a lot of good plays in this game.
There are a lot of good plays, and we'll get to some of those. So far, 1A, 1B is Steph and Chris Paul. And then my number two favorite point guard, and I'm going to ask you to pronounce his first name because you love doing it so much, but Murray from San Antonio.
DeJounte.
So first and foremost, he gets the Pelicans. That's the first thing. Second of all, he's at home. Third of all, he's got Rajon Rondo on him. There's some more of alls. Fourth of all, he's...
You might even get a sixth of all from me, too, because I got a note.
Awesome. Where am I? Fourth of all, he is in a very rare pace-up game for the Spurs. And that's where you really want to go. DeJounte, whatever, D. Murray, is where... They're in a pace-up game because he thrives in that kind of game. We also know there's no Pau Gasol today, which DeJounte is a really good rebounding guard as is. And him and Powell sitting gives him even more opportunities for rebounds on top of the high pace. We know New Orleans can break a ton of shots. So I think he's probably my number 2 point guard.
I like it. New Orleans, not a very good rebounding team this year. And, we know Murray, he can get involved in it on the glass and whatnot. I don't know. It might just be one time that they played each other this season, but Murray did have 31 on DK, 33.5 on FanDuel in only 24.5 minutes against the Pelicans earlier this season. So,
and what time frame was that? Do you know?
I believe that was like November.
Okay, so yeah, he wasn't even the starting point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, I mean, look, he's shown that he could possibly do well in that matchup. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all. Guys that I really like, not as expensive, but Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet, both of these guys. Lowry been very consistent against Orlando, at least 37 on DK, at least 33 on FD in each of the last five meetings against the Magic. Again, I think, I always look at Toronto, I call them a business-like team. Like, they just come into the arena, handle their business, and then they're gone. You know, like, you don't even, like, hear shit-talking from them or anything. They just get the job done every night. So, if that's the case against this lowly Magic team, I really think that VanVleet can get in here and get some nice production as well. The price, it's not as cheap as I would like it to be, but it's still that range where I think he's got some serious upside in this matchup against the Magic.
Yeah, it's a fantastic over-under. They're the second highest projected odds on the slate in terms of points. Orlando. So here's, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. So Orlando's got Vucevic and Gordon and Simmons and Fournier and Augustine. So usually where Toronto comes in and kicks your butt is when they sit Valanciunas down and they go small. And so there's a couple of plays in this game I really like. The two you mentioned, Lowry and VanVleet, absolutely. I think Lowry's a little bit too expensive because I'd rather pay 400, 200 more for Chris Paul. But VanVleet, I mean, at 4,900, I've got him now projected at just under 25 minutes.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, and he's probably going to play some of the two. So what they tend to do is they tend to run Lowry, DeRozan, and VanVleet at the same time. Yeah. That's why you're starting to see a minutes increase for VanVleet, because he was just around 20 or under 20. Now he's at 25. And with those three, I mean, they might run Orlando out of the gym.
Yes, that's exactly what I was trying to hope for. You know, this is the one, not like you can't predict blowouts, but this is a decent GPP mindset to think about with the blowout. You know, I mean, I probably wouldn't be liking VanVleet as much if they were playing like Houston or something like that, you know, where the game will be close. But, the fact that it's Orlando, they don't play defense. There's a good chance that they could get run out of the gym. You mentioned the good total. I think everything adds up here. Uh-huh. All right. Other guys that we got to take a look at today, we've got the Memphis Grizzlies situation. So no Tyreke Evans, Andrew Harrison, Mario Chalmers both have pretty decent value numbers attached to their name today. Mm-hmm. Any interest in going here?
So I can't go Harrison just because of his price is at 6K and he just doesn't do shit, man. I just can't do it. I can't really pay for that. But tournaments, yeah, I could definitely look at Chalmers. Where is he? Minimum price? Yeah, he's minimum price.
I did not realize how expensive Harrison was, by the way. So not a good value number attached to his name, but
yeah, can't do 6K for him. But Chalmers minimum price. I'm assuming he's min price on both sites.
You will get the confirmation from me on FanDuel now. DraftKings, you might have to wait a little while.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't have them pulled up.
I'm looking at Memphis, looking at their implied odds of 109.5, which is pretty high for them, versus Phoenix. I mean, Chalmers can definitely get it going at min price. I'll be playing a lot of him in tournaments.
All right. I'll do that Chalmers thing here in a sec. But any other point guards back in?
Yeah, we have to wait and see what goes on with Delaney. If Delaney sits, I like to go back to the Tyler Dorsey play here versus Indiana.
Fan favorite of the Alan Bear podcast.
Indeed. And I like him because he should be able to torch the second unit of the Pacers. He'll probably have, you know, I forgot his name, Joe Young on him. You know, I think it's a good tournament play. He's minimum price $3,600, pretty close to it. So,
all right,
I'm a fan of that.
Keith and I usually play the yay or nay game. So I'll give like three names and we'll see if we could get a yay or nay on these guys. Elfrid Payton tonight, $7,300 on FanDuel against the Grizzlies. No Tyreek Evans, by the way.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, all right. Austin Rivers against the Houston Rockets.
Really don't like Austin Rivers.
All right.
I mean, like, as far as the guy who's average talent who thinks he's, you know, Michael Jordan. But yeah, besides that,
you can't just take shots at Duke players on this podcast and get away with it, you know?
He's too arrogant for me. Yeah, I mean, on top of that, I think he was the main cause of the fight last game between the two teams.
Yep.
And I think Chris Paul is going to get in his ass, so I'm staying away.
All right. One more guy we got to get a grip on here. Rajon Rondo.
Are we really asking about Rondo?
Yeah. $5,800 on FanDuel.
Yeah, he's $5,800 versus Spurs. Can't do it.
All right. Let's go over to the shooting guard position today. Highest price on slate, James Harden. Fan favorite of mine and many others out there. Going up against this Clippers team tonight. Not much defense that they could really do shit about, pretty much. We've talked about, you know, liking a lot of players in this game, talked about the total, talked about a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Harden. I'm not worried about a blowout here, anything like that. I know Chris Paul can certainly have a big night himself, but I just think there's just going to be too much offense in this game. You really can't have enough exposure to it.
So before I comment on that, I just want to mention one more point guard that we left out, and that's going to be Patty Mills versus New Orleans.
Ah, yes. I forgot he's starting now. So
Hopefully he continues to start. We've got him at just under 30 minutes, and again, in a pace-up game, he's definitely worth taking a shot. Okay, Harden.
Shooting guard is now.
It is. I think he can play Harden and Paul in this game. There's going to be that much offense. There's certainly enough points to go around in this game. That I wouldn't fear playing the both of them. They're, you know, as a combo, they're expensive at 11.2, but Harden's been over 12K before. He's just kind of in a little bit of, I mean, I don't want to call it a slump because he's playing well, but
MVP.
But DFS in terms of, you know, hitting his or crushing his value, it's been a slump, right? So let me just preface it that way. But who the hell's going to guard him? I mean, seriously, there's nobody to guard him. And on top of nobody to guard him, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but Harden loves playing in L.A. So I live here, and a lot of the times during the offseason, I've ran into Harden at different spots.
Really?
Many times. And every time, you know, before I was married and I had a girlfriend, and he would look at her and he would try to talk to her. And then when I was with my wife and she had like four or five of her girlfriends, he would send one of his friends to go talk to them, and he loves L.A. He loves L.A., and so he wants to show off in L.A., so I think...
That slippery beard, him.
You know? Yeah, it's all that damn grease he puts on that thing.
Unreal.
I think that's... we do have some news that passed when we started the pod.
Oh?
Pau Gasol is officially out, so he's not playing.
Gotcha.
And it looks like Jabari Parker is not on the injury report, so we might actually get him on a back-to-back, which is great.
Interesting. TJ Warren listed questionable 1 minute ago for tonight.
How did I miss that one?
So, 1 minute ago. I mean, it just came down the pipeline. But again, if that's the case, he gone, then Devin Booker. I already like Devin Booker going into this game. Now, I'm not chasing last game. I'm not doing that. But again, with Memphis, who they have in their lineup, I'm really not worried about him like getting shut down by any means. Also, his last game here against the Grizz back in December, goes for 48 on DK, 45 on FanDuel. Again, no Warren. I like it even more. And so again, it's just no Tyreek Evans out there to run around with Booker. So I'm with it.
So guess what I pulled up?
What did you pull up, Bear?
Because I was very zoned in on Devin Booker today. So I looked at, over the last 10 games, how shooting guards did versus Memphis.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown, FanDuel points, DraftKings points, 25.
Okay.
Tyler Johnson, 33. And then you got guys like J.R. Smith, who I'm not going to even talk about. Donovan Mitchell, 14. Ken Bazemore, 26. DeMar DeRozan, 24. Oladipo, 23.
Oh, no.
They don't do very well versus Memphis.
What games was Tyreek in there?
Well, the last handful he was, the one versus Donovan Mitchell, I don't believe he was. Ken Bazemore, he was not. DeMar DeRozan, I don't know. I'll have to look.
All right. Well, Evans just missed the last two games, and then prior to that, he missed a whole bunch.
Yeah, before the trade deadline, they made it awkward and saddening.
All right, so not as big on Booker as...
And you know I'm a Booker diehard. Like, I love what Booker can do, but...
Well, yeah. You're not as big on Booker as originally thought, but, I mean, I still like him. I really think a very, very cool combo to have tonight would be to have Harden and Booker.
Definitely two guys that can go TF off. So, yeah, but, I mean, we talk about Warren. If Warren sits, I mean, you just got to lock in Jackson and Josh Jackson and just don't think about it. But, shooting guards.
Yes.
So, Harden, love. Booker, you love more than I do. I am looking at probably my second to Harden is going to be DeRozan.
Okay.
Now, there's a couple things. First of all, DeRozan is under 9K finally. It's at 8,600 on FanDuel. Second of all, second highest projected odds points-wise for his team on the slate.
Oh, wow.
At 115. Third of all, we're getting into the fourth of all soon.
Yep.
Third of all, Orlando Magic on the other side. that's kind of the best out of all the alls. The worst ADVP for shooting guard on the slate by a mile is Orlando.
Nice.
By a mile. The predictions for this game is only 9 points, right? Favored by 9. So if this game stays, so if you're going to play Van Vliet, you probably don't want to play DeRozan. If you're going to play DeRozan, you don't want to play Van Vliet. But one of them is this game stays close. The other one is this game doesn't stay close, right? Yeah. I think the game stays somewhat close, not like 2 points, but under 10 or around the 10 point mark. And if it's around the 10 point mark, DeRozan's going to play the full allotment of minutes. So he's probably my second favorite shooting guard on the slate.
Interesting. All right. So I did a lot of StatMuse pulling up history against guys last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of shocked to see that there was just not a lot of success with the guys against the teams that they're playing tonight. However, DeMar DeRozan is certainly one of the exceptions. I mean, his numbers against Orlando over the last 20 games, it's like it's a straight line across about 40. Like, that's just where he is on FanDuel. We'll just call it the 40 neighborhood. But, I mean, just looking at, like, in the last 10 games, a 39.3, a 40.1, a 39.1, 38.4, 36.2, 37.3, 43, 38.4. 40.9. Like, the consistency is amazing against the Magic team. So, I mean, I would probably lock in DeRozan in cash. That's probably how I would do it. I'm never a fan of his upside, but I do think that you're again. I mean, why would you not think that he wouldn't get around 40 points tonight based off of this information right here?
Agreed.
All right. Now I'm getting upset. All right. Lou Williams, who again he's on the back end of a back to back, playing in Denver last night. However, 50 plus against the Rockets in both meetings this season, and that's on both sites as well. So we've got that. He could catch Chris Paul for about a third of this game, but
I don't think he will.
He's been had at times anyway this season.
A couple things. First of all, I don't think he will see Chris Paul because I think Chris Paul is going to tell D'Antoni from the get-go. He already knows, hey, I'm guarding Austin Rivers all night.
Wait.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, and he may be like, great. Well, I need you to guard Lou too.
He's not going to care. Paul hates him. I'm telling you, this was even before the brawl. Even when he left, there were some comments made. I don't know if you guys recall that, but there were some comments made between Austin and Chris Paul when Chris Paul left the Clippers. There is some really ugly bad blood there. I'm telling you, they might get into a fist fight. I'm not kidding. It's really ugly between those two guys. And so Chris Paul is going to want to get in his face the whole game. So and even if Chris Paul does guard Lou Williams, Lou is one of those guys that I'm not worried about. Particularly in this pace of a game, I'm not worried about it. So I think he's got the blow up potential. We all know that. And the only thing is he's at 7,700, so he kind of has to blow up to do it for you. So I might want to keep Lou into tournaments. I don't know if I can really play that in cash, but for tournaments, I think he's a great play.
All right. By the way, I was looking at Austin Rivers' numbers against the Rockets. He went for 50-plus against them last time, but I have no idea. That might have been the time that Chris Paul was injured.
Yes, it was.
It was? All right, because it was December 22nd.
Yeah.
All right, cool. I was not trying to throw some shade at the Chris Paul numbers there. I had to see how bad it was, but, hey, he did well that last one. All right, let's look. I guess let's try to get a little cheaper at shooting guard if that's possible. I will. I gotta credit Luz because he pointed out or Loas Luz. We still have no confirmation.
Luz, it's just Luz.
You know, and you know what's funny? And he was on the phone Saturday with Keith, and I talked to him for a little bit, and he actually said the right way to say it, but I forgot what it was, and I wasn't even drinking at that point, so that's just bad memory on my part. All right, so some of these cheaper guys, any interest here?
A little bit. I think you can certainly look at Wesley Matthews. I know that a lot of people might think he might get some Paul George on him. He might. I have to see who they're starting over there in Dallas. What the situation is there. But Wesley has played a lot of the three with Barnes at the four and Dirk at the five. So we'll see how it plays out. But I might have some interest in Wesley Matthews. We all talk about narratives, and even though it's still early in the day, I haven't heard about this one yet, which is odd to me. But Eric Gordon going back to the Clippers to play against the Clippers.
Okay.
He played there for a really long time, and they kind of just dumped him. He hasn't played in a few games. He's been injured. He's probable now. He's under 5K. He's like 4,500. Versus the Clippers who can't guard themselves. And so I think I really like that play.
All right. Beep, 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 beep. Let's see here. The thing I like about Eric Gordon, too, you're going to have Ryan Anderson out. So I figure that, more three-point attempts. Ever since Anderson and Gordon kind of been playing on that second unit, it's kind of a grab bag of, who the hell are we getting? But again, I think I like Gordon with that narrative right there that you talked about, and just the fact that he doesn't have to compete for 3-point attempts with Ryan Anderson. That's a good
sure. Thing. Now, remind me, did Troy Daniels ever play for the Grizzlies?
It sounds like he did, right?
Because for some reason we have him projected at an extremely high number of minutes.
Well, that would be if Warren's out.
But I've already got Warren is in, so I'm trying to understand what's happening here.
Where that's on the domination station?
Our projections, yeah. But listen, if we get word that Warren does sit, that might leave a little bit more room for Troy Daniels at minimum price versus Memphis, who, like you said, doesn't have Tyreek. For our tournament play, I like it a lot. And if he did play for the Grizzlies, which we'll look up here at some point.
Bear, you know your hoops. You were right. He played for the Grizzlies last season, but only last season.
I thought so. Okay. Because there was something that put me to him in Memphis. But, okay. And I don't know how it ended, but, you know, there's always something to be said about teams that – or players that play their former team.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, Troy Daniels has never been a staple on any team, but it's there. There's something to be there. He's minimum price. I have to look, and I will, and I'll update everybody in Slack as to why we have him projected so high. I have to see what goes into these projections. But if he's playing over 25 minutes, I'm in.
All right. Shot in the dark here you might be able to take. I know you're a fan of dumpster diving down at the bottom, the pricing barrel. But you got any interest here? Danny Green, Manu Ginobili against the Pelicans? Maybe they can relight the fire here?
Well, definitely Danny Green. I think at 4,400, I like him better in the low fours. We'll have to see. Is Ginobili...
Ginobili is scheduled to play.
He's at 4,100. I mean, he'll see a few less minutes than Danny Green usually does. I think Danny Green will be chasing around Drew Holiday as much as he can. So he might play a little bit more. But again, it's a pace-up game for them versus the Pelicans, for the Spurs, that is, versus the Pelicans. You know, a lot of shots going up, so I can get behind either one of those guys.
All right. Anybody else at the shooting guard position?
Yeah. So we're gonna have to see again just final information. So from two teams, three teams.
Oh.
Charlotte, you got to see who's final and sits there. If we get news that one or two guys are sitting there, it's gonna put me directly on Trevian Graham. Minimum price guy, he could see 25 minutes. He might even start if MKG sits, because they do like to keep Lamb with that second unit. If Lamb does end up starting, I like Graham even more, because then nobody's going to know his name. Everybody knows, oh, he's starting, I'm going to put him in, right? But if he's not even starting, he's going to take Lamb's place off the bench and get 25 minutes with the second unit with a decent amount of usage. So we'll look at that, and then we did get word that Dellavedova is sitting again. The Bucks played last night. I might have some interest in Sterling Brown if I could justify him playing 20-25 minutes. As of right now, he's not, so I can't. And then I got to take a look at some of the backup shooting guards from Memphis, because they're playing Phoenix. So that's always something I'm interested in. And they've got a lot of guys sitting out. So guys like Ben McLemore and Mike Henry and those kind of guys. I got to see, again, we'll have to wait for news. I think I maybe rostered Ben McLemore once in my lifetime, and I'm probably not going to do that today, even if like the whole team sits, because he makes me very nervous to play him. But I don't. If you're doing multiple entries in tournaments, I don't see you could maybe take a shot. You want to go against Phoenix anytime you can.
Sure.
And so if you're going to get over 20 minutes from a minimum price guy who's got some decent history against bad teams, then I don't see why not.
All right. Let's go small forwards. KD returning home to the DC area. I believe he's actually from Baltimore, right?
I think so. Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. So. If that area, whatever. But, yeah, it's still pretty close to D.C. So, this is typically the homecoming. Now, KD, his last two trips to D.C. have not gone as planned. Last year, he got a pretty bad knee injury there, which kept him out for a while. And I don't even think he registered a full minute in that game before it happened. And then the year prior to that, I think he only played about, like, 16 minutes. I forget what the situation was in that game. Maybe you have some insight as to it. But those were the... those were his last two trips to D.C., so they haven't been great. So my line of thinking was, all right, he's done shitty here the last two times out. Third time's a charm, right?
Yeah, third time's a charm. I buy into that. I think, considering that, again, we talked about it to open the pod, the Wizards just played last night in a pretty crazy game. So I can get behind it. I mean, guys, Durant's under 10K. When was the last time KD was under 10K?
Nah.
Versus the entire team, and which is usually the case, but the Warriors are the highest projected points on the slate. And they usually are, but that's not new. But, he's probably going to draw some Otto Porter on defense, who's not a bad defender, but he's no Giannis Antetokounmpo, right? I mean, so I'm there, definitely good with playing KD. You're going to have the top three guys here. It's going to be really difficult to choose. You're going to have Giannis, you're going to have KD, and you're going to have Paul George. I think Paul George is in a fantastic bounce back spot. He's been having a little rough stretch lately. Lately as in two games, right? But prior to that, he's been on fire. And I know if Barlow's listening, he probably hates him some Paul George right now. Can't say I blame him.
Oh, yeah.
Can't say I blame him. But another one of our members actually that same night won 100K with Paul George in his lineup.
That's hysterical.
Yeah. But anyways, so between those three guys, I mean, you're probably going to have to go one of the three, at least in cash. And so it's a little bit difficult to choose there. But, in terms of highest projection for his team, it's going to be Kevin Durant. It's probably where I would go between those three. Now, once you pass those three, there are a gluttony of options in the mid tiers that we should be looking at here that I'm a fan of. So if Warren suits up, I'm playing him. Have you seen how many points Memphis has been giving up to the small forward spot?
I do not, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
I mean, I'm going to bring it up right now. Last 10 games. Boom. So, holy shnikes.
What do you got here?
So, Jay Rich.
Yeah.
35.1. Seti Osman, who's a small forward for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who nobody knows who the hell he is.
Well, I believe Chidi or something like that. It's something weird.
He put up 20.
Oh, my. And he sucks.
Paul George, 46. Paul George, 56.
Oh, my.
Bojan Bogdanovic, 36.5.
Former neck rate.
I mean, the only guys that haven't done well are like OG, who doesn't shoot as a defensive guy.
Sure.
He put up double digits.
Oh, my.
And then Torian Prince, who's all or nothing, and he was nothing that game.
Mostly nothing.
Yeah, for the most part. So, now, if Warren sits, and frankly, quite possibly if Warren doesn't sit, I'm still going to be a big fan of Josh Jackson in this game. If Warren sits, I'm locking him in. Don't care. I'm locking him in. I'm not looking. I'll play him. I want to be able to play two of the top studs in tournaments, but if Warren sits, I'm taking out one of those studs and going Josh Jackson.
Now, Jackson's not exactly minimum price. I know I'm FanDuel, but you're still very confident in that.
He's 5,100. He's going to play 30 minutes. If Warren sits, it'll probably be like 35 minutes. He'll be at the the small forward. With what Memphis gives up versus the small forward, and Jackson is really coming to his own. I think having Booker back and having Elfrid Payton handle the ball has helped him. Mm-hmm. I'm really high on him. The second mid-range guy that I'm really high on is going to be Kyle Anderson. He's 5,700, pace up. Again, no Pau. He can definitely put up double-digit rebounds. He's done it a lot.
I'm trying to fill in some things. By the way, on the depth chart hub, I'm adding implied team totals to the teams now, so you can see those. That'll be fun.
Nice.
It's all you, Bear, because you got me inspired. I was just taking a look at the implied team totals, and I was like, wow, Wow, that all looks fun.
It adds another level there. And then another guy that I'm fond of, there's two more, and I'll let you go. Two guys that I'm fond of also in this mid-price range. One of them, even though he played last night, but he's young and athletic, is Kelly Oubre.
Oh.
Golden State.
Yeah, let's talk about this real quick, because I was going to say, you know, Gortat played a decent amount of minutes last night. Mahimi played, decent amount of minutes.
Yeah.
You think it's going to be more of like maybe more Keith there at the five, more like Porter or Oubre kind of interchangeable there at the three and four? How do you see that rolling out for them?
Yeah, they're playing Golden State, so it's going to be a small game. So it's going to be Saransky and Beal and probably Oubre at the three, Otto Porter at the four, and then we'll see if they go Keith or Jan, or depending on who's playing well. I could see that. I see Oubre at least 30 minutes, and he's definitely a small forward, but he can play a little bit of guard, which is one of the spots we've been able to attack Golden State this year. And he's only 5K, so I think he's a pretty solid play at over 30 minutes in that pace of a game.
All right, we talked about Giannis earlier in the show. Just looking at it, it's funny because his price is at $1,100 on FanDuel. So, you know, he historically doesn't have like that much upside against the Pistons. I believe in seven of his last eight games, he's kind of been stuck just under that 50-point mark against them. So, again, I think with that situation that Milwaukee's in tonight, I'm really not big on Giannis, especially against the Pistons. Lose, again, he mentioned it, you know, Greek doesn't do that well against the Pistons. It's usually Chris Middleton that does the best against them. So,
yes, love me some Middleton.
I'll trust him on that one. And then, I mean, Harrison Barnes is interesting if he's going to be playing more of the power forward against Carmelo Anthony. I mean,
yeah,
he'd definitely take advantage of that. Hell, Aaron Gordon just posted 40 against OKC the other night, so I could take a chance there. Reggie Bullock was kind of interesting too. He's still pretty cheap. Again, if you know Milwaukee's going to be tired sleepwalking around the court, he's usually at his best when he can get these open shots. So.
Yeah,
I don't mind him there. Jeremy Lamb, of course. Now, this was pretty interesting. So I think we all expect Jeremy Lamb to be major chalk tonight. Mm-hmm. And, the subscriber's going to kill me. I forgot who mentioned it, but he posted the screenshot of Lance Stevenson against Atlanta. Yep. So I believe you get Stevenson a little cheaper than Jeremy Lamb. I got to check this out. But Stevenson's posted really good numbers against Atlanta this season. So, given the fact...
Stevenson, $4,700, Lamb, $4,400.
Okay, all right. A little more expensive then. I'm sorry. I thought I saw him at $4,000, but it's a pretty decent pivot. I mean, look, we know Atlanta sucks. They can get run out of the gym any night of the week. But, again, a guy like Stevenson who has... I believe one was for 29 fantasy points. The other was for 39 fantasy points against Atlanta. So I think it's a very interesting pivot, and you could say good matchup for Stevenson and the fact that Lamb, you know, his team is really tired, you know, at this point in the season. Yes, Lamb is going to get probably a lot more shots and have more involvement in the offense, but it's an interesting pivot for GPGs. All right.
So here's my take on that. I think Lance is too expensive for the upside.
Okay.
If I'm going to pivot off of Lamb, which I absolutely will be doing in tournaments, I am going to a guy at the exact same price as Lamb who is going to see 32-plus minutes, whose team is playing Phoenix, who has no other shooting guard, no Tyreek Evans, no Wayne Selden Jr., no Chandler Parsons.
I like it.
Dylan Brooks plays the shooting guard when those guys are out. Versus Phoenix, I'm going directly to Dylan Brooks, and I am not even looking at Jeremy Lamb or Lance Stevenson.
One thing too, you know, we've seen it pretty much all season, but you know, small forwards have been the one spot that hasn't been that great against Phoenix. But if you know TJ Warren's out of the game, I think it makes it a great play.
Well, if he's out of the game, but even if he's not, Dylan Brooks is going to play shooting guard.
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at. He may even handle some of the ball.
Right. Yeah. No, good plan. Yeah. G code.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it. All right, good. See, yeah. I'm glad we talked. Any other small forwards here?
Go ahead.
I know he just came back, but I mean, God, small forwards have been destroying the Clippers this season. So again, even in that similar price point, Trevor Ariza against them tonight. Again, I know we just got back, right? I know it's risky as hell, but it is the Clippers. He could do some damage.
Yeah, no, I think he does do some damage. I think it takes a little bit away from him that Gordon's coming back a little bit.
Yep.
But he's an LA guy. He's going to have friends and family. See, the problem with this Clippers-Rockets game is there are so many players we can look at, and they've got legitimate narratives. Legitimate.
Uh-huh.
But you can't play all of them.
Yeah. And there's one huge narrative.
Yeah. For everyone. I think there's a couple of huge narratives there, right? At least two of them. So it's going to be tough. But, you know, plant your flag. Pick a narrative you really like and want to stick with in a play. I think Harden and Chris Paul should be the two. But yeah, pick, and maybe you can even go Eric Gordon. You can even play the three of them. I wouldn't play four, though, from the Rockets, but definitely three.
All right.
Other mid-tier. So I'm looking at Jason Tatum, only because Charlotte really is going to, if MKG's out, they're going to struggle a lot on defense. So we'll have to look a little bit closer and see what happens there. Other plays that I like. So we've been talking about it since last night that the Spurs are hell-bent on slowing down Anthony Davis. So what does that mean that if the Spurs are going to two-team him? That means he's got to pass the ball. And that means if he's going to pass the ball, someone's got to catch and shoot. So if you're going to buy into the AD's going to suck narrative, I would look at Etuan Moore at 4,100.
Oh, the birthday boy?
The birthday boy. Not only is it his birthday, but if AD is going to be double-teamed, they're probably going to come off of Moore to double-team. They're not going to come off of Jrue Holiday. They're not going to come off of – well, they might come off of Rondo. But – I'm not sure that, you know, that he's able to go off. But if you buy into the game theory about the double teaming, then I'd look at Moore for super cheap.
My goodness. We uncovered some nice gems here. And by the way, I definitely, the Dylan Brooks one, I do like that over Reggie Bullock. So just cross that guy, cross out Bullock. I like the guy. I think he's a good shooter, but, you know, not more than Dylan Brooks. I overlooked the guy. My bad. Yeah, I like that one a lot. And you know what's funny? Your boy Tatum, who you mentioned, he's been playing good game, bad game, on track for a good game tonight. But, again, too, this is a nice spot for him because Charlotte has been most vulnerable at the small forward and power forward positions, both spots that Mr. Tatum occupies. He's very cheap. I like that one, too.
And I've got one last narrative play.
All right.
Guess who's going back to OKC?
Dougie
McBuckets.
Oh, that doesn't count. He was barely he had a cup of coffee in OKC.
You know who I said that for? You know who I said that for.
Yeah, I know.
There's only one guy that works at DFS Army that I said that for, and that's the only guy I said that for. But I can't play McDermott. I'm just playing around.
Gotcha. All right, let's get to this powerful forward position where Mr. Anthony Davis makes a return to this column. We've talked about it. I got to bring up some – I'll let you start in on this discussion. But our boy Haster, he had some nice thoughts today about this – well, not thoughts, but a nice he had a nice mosaic of how the Spurs have handled Anthony Davis.
Oh, I like the word there.
Oh, yeah.
So I got to give a shout-out to Mitch Donuts.
Okay. We love shout-outs on the podcast.
We do. And I told him, you know, that I would let him know the timestamp of the pod so he can hear this. But so at first it was – his take on it was – something along the lines of there's no way he's going to break 60 again. And why is 60 important? Anthony Davis is 12-5. So he needs to go off like he's been to make it worth it, right? And then on the flip side of that, I've got to look up what the rest of it was. Another take, something along the lines of what power forwards have been. I remember now. It was, if you pick Anthony Davis and LaMarcus Aldridge, you can get 170 points between the two of them.
I thought 2 billion, I thought it was.
It was, yeah, 2 billion, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's and you know what the thing about it is, Mitch, I'm with you. There are two camps. One camp says he's been out of his mind. If you don't play him and he puts up 90, you can't win a tournament, right? But then the other camp is, he's playing the Spurs. It's a pace down game. They're going to make Popovich is going to make sure that they slow him down. They're probably going to have a combination of LaMarcus Aldridge and Kyle Anderson double team him. Two phenomenal defenders, lengthy and that kind of thing. And that limits his upside. I mean, could he put up 50? Sure, but you're not happy with 50. He doesn't even make value at 50. So I am in the camp that says complete fade on Anthony Davis. I can't play him, but I can see where there are two camps. Now, on the power forward topic here, if I'm going to fade Anthony Davis, 1,000% I'm going to play Nikola Mirotic.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. So number one, if you look at – Emeka Okafor is the starting center, yes, but he doesn't play, right? 15, 16, 18 minutes a game. It's usually Davis moves over to the five, and then Mirotic comes into the game, and Anthony Davis is now the center, right?
Right.
The one spot that the Spurs are somewhat weak in has been power forward. And so I'm going to bring up what some of the recent power forwards have done versus the Spurs, just to give you an idea. Let's see what we got here. So Wilson Chandler, who was the starting four for the Nuggets,
right?
41.7.
I remember that game.
5 days ago. 10 days prior, Wilson Chandler, 46.1. Derek Favors, 39.4. Draymond Green, 46.1. So, and these are all the last handful of games. So, if they're going to spend all of their attention on Anthony Davis, which they've made it pretty clear they're going to do, and Popovich is a very good coach, that's what he should do, that leaves a lot of room for Mirotic to do some pretty decent damage.
I like it. Very, very sneaky. You know, I like this. I never underestimate the sneakiness.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of – so AD's a fade for me.
Oh, hold on. I wanted to bring up Haster's points here with AD too. You know, he mentioned that if you look at – if you pull up Anthony Davis's log here – and this is I feel like it's more of a pro Davis point, but he's all right. So game log against the Spurs the last 5 years without Kawhi Leonard, you see recently that it looks like Kawhi has kind of helped Davis cut down on the steals and blocks aspect. Now he also has another picture here without Kawhi Leonard. Now he did only have one steal. And no blocks in that earlier game against the Spurs this season. But there's also data here where in games without Kawhi Leonard, where he has 4 steals, 1 block, 2 steals, 5 blocks, no steals, 4 blocks. So I will say, though, those games were back in 2014 that it happened. But you know, again, the more recent ones against the Spurs had Kawhi Leonard in it, and he really didn't have those peripheral stats that give you the bonus there. And the ones that AD really thrives on. I mean, that last game, I believe he had, what, like 5 blocks and 5 steals. I mean, that's why you're getting into that upper threshold. So, again, I trust Popovich more as a coach than I trust Anthony Davis as a player.
Amen.
So that's why I'm in the off AD camp. But sure, I mean, sure, Anthony Davis can go off. I just think the percentages are more in the Spurs' favor here.
Put you this way, man. If I am playing 10 tournament lineups, I'll have him in two.
Okay.
Fair?
That's fair. Yeah, very fair. All right. Fair.
But
In my one, he will not be there, though.
There you go. I definitely like LaMarcus Aldridge. I think that's a great spot. I mean, you know, look at the DVP matchup there. It's okay. But without Powell, I think that leaves even more for Aldridge. I am completely fading Blake Griffin. He's been struggling. He's down to 7,600, which is somewhat intriguing. And I know he's going to have that blow-up game, but right. I don't think it's going to be against Giannis. So probably going to pass there. Somewhat intrigued with Aaron Gordon. Somewhat. I'll have to continue to think about that and see what news comes out from Orlando. 50-50. One of the spots that has been destroying Houston has been power forward, which leads us to Tobias Harris, who's at 8K.
Yeah, and he did not have a good shooting night last night, so
I was gonna say,
might be struggle. Off of him for that.
Absolutely.
And nice go back spot. I dig it.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm a huge fan of LaMarcus Aldridge. I really like that. I'm just looking at something right now, and it made me throw up in my mouth a little bit, but Serge Ibaka has been balling out last couple games, and I look at his price, 6,200, not that bad. The matchup against Orlando is fantastic. It's one of the best on the board. Aaron Gordon, not a fan of defense.
No.
You know, Ibaka spent a little time in Orlando. I was just looking at Basketball Monster's projection on him, and it ain't good at all. Like, it's real bad. So, do I call bullshit on them, or do I just say, I'm going to trust my man Ibaka here, because he's been going nuts lately.
He's been playing very well. If you want Ibaka, it's in this kind of matchup for sure. In terms of the projections, to be frank, I don't know what's going on there, but I can tell you that because of them, he will be very low owned.
Sure.
So I wouldn't play Serge in cash because there's probably something to these projections considering how successful we've been.
Yeah, by the way, BBM, with the truth serum in there, they knew Jeremy Lamb was going to be a fantastic value play. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah. So, by the way, Clint Capella is now probable, which is fantastic, I think. Okay.
Okay.
So there are John Collins, which I expected him to be. He's now up to 6,500. That's pretty much his ceiling. I can't do that. Even though I love bigs versus Indy and all, but at 65 it makes it really tough. But
I kind of like Collins here. I mean, yes, I'm well aware he struggled as the master chalk last game, but I'll take a crack at Indy any day of the week down low.
So what do you think John Collins on a ceiling game is going to reach?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we really haven't had a whole lot of opportunity to see. So I think that's what's exciting about it is that we really don't know. But I think it's certainly possible that he could go for about, I don't know, for like 45. On an absolute best case scenario. I mean, you got to think about it. Nobody is over there now. He's going to be starting.
Sure.
And the Hawks are in like, we don't give a F mode right now.
Right.
So, you know, you feel like Collins should be out there. I mean, again, the matchup is fantastic against
Andy. Yeah.
He should crush.
I'm not doubting his minutes. He's going to play 30 minutes. Absolutely, he's going to play 30 minutes. It's just a matter of in games where he's played 30 minutes, he hasn't touched the 45 mark. And he's at 6,500. I don't mind it in cash as much, but in GPP, I don't see the ceiling.
All right. Well, I was going to say, too, the we're just starting to see him in this new role. So I think, again, you know, he's a rookie. I think he's getting more comfortable as an NBA player. You know, the scores haven't shown it. But, again, I feel like he could.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think at 5,500, I'd be a little more all in. But
Sure.
But a guy that I do like a lot, again, this is a pace-up game for Memphis.
Okay.
Jamichael Green is 5,300 on FanDuel. I've got him here at 33 minutes. He might get 15 points and 20 rebounds. Mm-hmm. If I do decide to go with LaMarcus Aldridge at the power forward, I'm probably going to head to JaMychal Green second. Or Mirotić. I'm going to go to JaMychal Green as my point guard. My power forward. Certainly in cash, I'm not thinking twice.
Yeah, I really like this spot for not only JaMychal Green, but Gerald Martin as well. Gerald Martin's played over 30 minutes the last two games. Hasn't had the production, but hey, Phoenix can help him out with a couple more points. We know this.
Phoenix will do that to a player.
Yeah, they'll help you out, bro. You know, hey, you're struggling? We got you. Exactly. But I like both of them, you know. So obviously, you know, Martin's going to be cheaper, but we already know this is a great spot for power forwards going up against Phoenix. Mm-hmm. No Deonta Davis tonight for the Grizzlies, so that's mm-hmm. more minutes. And then Brandon Wright is in Houston now, so there's really not much competition. It's probably going to be a three-man front court there with Gasol, Green, and Martin. Sure. And, I like all – and we'll talk about Gasol in a little bit too, but I like him as well.
Yeah, he's a great play. You can certainly look at Thad Young versus the Hawks. You can look at anyone versus the Hawks. So that's an interesting play. And then here's one for you.
I just want to Thad, 38 on DK, 41 on FD 5 days ago against the Pacers. Against the Hawks.
The Hawks. Yeah, no, he's definitely a good play. So, interesting one. And we brought up some of the news on him earlier. Jabari is probably going to play, which they've been sitting him back-to-back, but he's looks pretty good. He looks pretty strong. So Jabari is 4,500, folks. I've got him here at 28 minutes versus Detroit, who's not very good at guarding that spot. It's been Blake Griffin, and Blake Griffin is not a guy that's going to guard a Jabari Parker off the dribble like he will for the type of power forward that likes to post up, more of a traditional guy. I think Jabari is a fantastic play at 4,500 if he plays, which I think he will.
I'm kind of worried just, back-to-back. He hasn't played in a while in that situation, although my boy Caris LeVert played his first back-to-back in a while last night and did pretty well. By the way, FanDuel, you still owe him 3 points for a steal.
They robbed us.
Anywho. I would be more cautious than optimistic about it just because this is his first back-to-back, so we don't know. Yeah. Again, Milwaukee could get I can't believe I'm going to say this. They could get run out of the gym tonight in Detroit just based on their situation of, having this many games in as many days. That's another risk for Jabari Parker as well.
Yeah, there's definitely a risk there. But at the same time, Al, if the Bucks thought there was any risk involved, they wouldn't let him play.
I agree on that, that front.
So I'm not as worried about it. But and just to clarify, it's a total tournament play. On the other side of the tournament play, we have got news that Daniel Tice is out.
Yep.
Which at 4,600 boosts Marcus Morris to probably to probably 30 minutes. At 4,600 versus Charlotte, who really struggles at that position, I think I like it.
Yes, indeed. I had Morris in anyway. I think that also gives a further boost to Jason Tatum, who we mentioned earlier. Really starting to like him a lot now that, we started the podcast. So I like that guy. Even the other side of it, Marvin Williams, he could see some extra minutes, especially Zeller's out. MKG supposed to be out. So that's a nice little situation for him there as well that I don't mind. Pau Gasol out for tonight's game. So Davis Bertans going to get in on the mix there with his boy Aldridge. So
Bertans I love. If he ends up starting, man, versus New Orleans, he might put up 23 pointers.
He'll probably be matched up with Mirotić.
He'll probably match up with Mirotić.
Which Mirotić, he's a Spanish guy, so he's a big fan of the Matador stuff. And he's a former Bull. I mean, it the story writes itself there.
Oh, that's funny. So a few more power forwards that we like to, what do you call it? Barrel diving? Dumpster diving? What do you call it?
Dumpster diving, barrel diving?
Dumpster diving. So, Luke Mbaba, you got me calling him Mbaba, dude. It's not Mbaba. That's not right. Luke Mbamute.
Mbaba. I got a little better. Mbaba.
Mbamute. I love that third name. This is just an A. A lowercase A, by the way. Luke Mba, lowercase A, Mute. excuse me.
God bless you, Bear.
Thank you. With Anderson out at 4,200 on FanDuel, we're looking at high 20 minutes for Luke Mbamute versus the Clippers. He'll probably play a little bit more at the four because I think PJ Tucker will play, and Trevor Ariza might play some of the three. We'll see what they do with their starters there. But Mbamute was a Clipper for a long time too. Well, not a long time, but a handful of years. That's a pretty cheap play. Another pretty cheap play at 4K is a guy I never ever play, but I have to say his name because he's going to get a lot of minutes at cheap, and that's Fender Bender. Playing Memphis, who's a little bit shorthanded. It's kind of a pace down game for them, but they've really been struggling to defend people. Memphis has. So 27 minutes is what I have him at 4K. Not a bad look.
No, not at all. I really like the Mbamute play before we heard that Capella news.
Yeah.
I thought, like, you know, that could give him an extra couple minutes at the four, even at the five if they wanted to go small in some of those lineups. But I do like it. I think he definitely sees more minutes in place of Ryan Anderson. Eric Gordon. Like, they're, you know, Gordon and Capella back, it hurts it a little bit, but... Yeah, I could still get on board with that. I actually had Mbamute in that game against Utah on the late slate over, and it was hysterical because I didn't even think of Tariq Black. I was like, I just went straight to Mbamute, and it ended up being pretty damn fruitful.
I had them both, and they both were fruitful.
Nice, nice. let's see here. All right, anybody else left? Frank Kaminsky. I know we talked about Marvin Williams. Kaminsky might see some extra minutes here.
Yeah, I don't like Kaminsky so much on the back-to-backs. He actually played a decent amount yesterday, so not so thrilled with...
All right, well, that fits the anti-Charlotte narrative with the being tired and everything, so
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's get to the center position right now. Let's see. At the center, my computer's loading, so it didn't help. All right, so for me, top of the mountain, obviously he is priced way above everybody else, but Andre Drummond taking on a Milwaukee Bucks team who they can't get rebounding together, they can't get interior defense together, they can't get a lot together going on inside the paint. So, yeah, I'm sure he's going to be chalky tonight, but well-deserved.
He should be. So Jokic put up a 74 versus Milwaukee. Dedmon put up a 30 versus Milwaukee. Cantor put up a 38.7 versus Milwaukee. Whiteside 37 in limited minutes, 20 minutes. So it's something we've been targeting all year. I think Drummond is a phenomenal play. I don't see how I don't play him. So he's probably at the top of my list. Another guy at the top of my list is way lower in price. Couple of games back now, I think maybe one or two games back now, versus Toronto, who doesn't do so well versus the center position, and that's Nikola Vucevic.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I like him a lot here. He's projected over 30 minutes. He's a guy that Frank Vogel loves. I mean, he's probably his favorite player next to Fournier. And I think having Gordon there helps him as well. I think Vucevic is there. I think you have to look at Marc Gasol going up against Phoenix. So he'll probably be playing against Len. And with Tyreek and Seldon and all the other usage guys out, Marc Gasol's usage is the highest out of all centers on the slate. So,
interesting. I like the Gasol thing. Again, we talked about Green and Martin from the Grizzlies, but that's just because power forwards are prefer centers. I like Gasol over both of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know you don't have to make the choice. I'm just saying, Gasol probably going to go bananas. And by the way, Gasol's price, man. Thanks. Thanks, guys. It's making it very affordable for us.
Yes, exactly. 7,200. It's tough to pass versus Phoenix.
You mentioned Vucevic. I do like him, but I also think that this could be a Joval night as well. If you haven't noticed, big fan of the Raptors against the Magic tonight.
I see that.
But Orlando is the second worst rebounding team in the NBA this season, and Joval has a pretty solid history in that 35-40 range on both sites against the Magic over the last few games. So, you know, that certainly bodes itself to do well. Gasol, I liked your boy Miles Turner tonight against the Hawks. I think people kind of forgot how bad maybe they haven't. I don't know. Maybe I did. But it just seems like against the Hawks recently, those guys have been underowned. And
yeah it's true. His price has crept up. You remember I was on the train when he was in the 5K range, and really nobody was thinking about him. And he put up a 50 last game. Versus Dallas. There's one more guy that in the higher range that I wanted to talk about before we go down.
Well, hold on. I just want to mention one thing about Turner, too.
Sure.
Looking at that, that was interesting with the game log. 36 minutes in the first game out of the break.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Let's get that again because their first game, that first game out of the break, 22 minutes against the Hawks, that last, and then the second game after the break, you know, he got two full days off for that game, and he ends up playing 36. I need to see those 36 out of Miles Turner again.
As long as he doesn't get in foul trouble, you're going to see it. That's just the way it is with Miles Turner. When he gets a lot of foul trouble, and he sits. But if he's out of foul trouble, which makes him a GPP play, I mean, if he's not in foul trouble, he puts up 50. If he is in foul trouble, he puts up 12. I mean, there's no in between with him, unfortunately. And you know, I'm not so sure that the Hawks have anybody that can get him in foul trouble. Although I don't mind playing Deadman either on the other side of that. But so we talked about Drummond and Vucevic and Gasol. Did you know that DeAndre Jordan is from Houston?
I did. He's a big Astros and a big Texas A&M guy.
And did you know that the main reason why Boban played so much last night was so DJ can play his 30 minutes tonight?
I did not know that, but I had that thought.
So, you know, he's 8,400 playing against his hometown team with some pretty bad blood and the highest over-under of the night. Versus a spot where Houston pretty much struggles. I think I like some DeAndre Jordan.
I like it. I don't like that price, but I like his matchup. Right. I guess if he's cheaper on DraftKings, I think I might rather go there, get some double-double points up in the mix. But, yeah, it's a fantastic matchup. Houston sucked against centers. Again, if you're going to get Capella back tonight, same shit, right? He's going to get dominated. Again, with the Clippers, I had a little bit of worry that they played in Denver last night, but they looked really good last night. I don't think they got to be riding high from last night. I think, you know, playing that game last night actually gives them a chance tonight in some weird way that, you know, they're kind of rolling right now.
I can see that. No, teams definitely play off of their highs for sure. So there's another – the weird thing about FanDuel is – they're so quick to move Anthony Davis from power forward to center, then back to power forward again. Al Horford has been the starting power forward all season.
Yeah.
And he's still at the center. So that's kind of weird to me. But for you guys that are looking at a center, understand that Al Horford is a power forward. So when you're looking at, you know, ADVP, the matchup versus Charlotte, that matches up Al Horford with Marvin Williams. Al Horford is 6,500. It's a decent pace up game for Boston. Their implied total odds are 108. I don't mind it at 6,500. I think it's easy.
Okay. There's a lot of goodness at center tonight. So again, we talked about the Hornets being in a really bad, you know, or really tired spot. I still, you know, again, without Zeller, we saw Dwight Howard post those ridiculous numbers, you know, for however many games in a row. So, again, if we're going to get word that, you know, he's fully healthy, everything's good with him, then I really don't mind going to that spot at all. Two other guys, you mentioned Dedmon, who I like, but two other guys who I think very, very sneaky tonight. Number one, Alex Len. I mean, killed us the other night, but and I know he's going against Memphis. Yeah. Tyson Chandler's out again. Yep. He's going to be in the same spot. I mean, maybe that was a one-game thing that he didn't do it, but you saw what Len did without Tyson Chandler for, what, three games in a row? I'm willing to go back to that at 4,900. No doubt. And especially in a spot where nobody's going to be wanting to go there. And then the other guy is Mike Muscala. At least 23 minutes in the last three games. One thing that I've noticed, and when you hear it, you're going to be like, duh, of course. But if he is going to be playing that backup center role, even if he's playing the backup power forward role, he's got a fantastic matchup against Domantas Sabonis or Al Jefferson. And there is statistical data from January about backup centers going bananas on the Pacers. So I don't want to make my only center Mike Muscala, but I think, you know, whatever the price is there on DraftKings, if it's, you know, somewhere around that 4,000 range, I think he's a really nice play on DraftKings because, again, he's getting consistent minutes over these last few games with Ersan Ilyasova out. Yeah. I really like Muscala as a player. He hasn't hit that max ceiling yet, but tonight could very well be the night.
So a couple of interesting things. So, first of all, former Nets great Trevor Booker has been waived by Philly.
He had that because the guy we just talked about, Ersan Ilyasova, now a Sixer.
And the more interesting part about that is he's going to sign with the Pacers.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
A couple more breaking news, and we'll get back into this Muscala topic.
All right.
Tyron Wallace is out today.
Interesting.
But guess who will play? CJ Williams. He's back.
Now, that to me, I don't think that has a major effect on the rotation just because of what the Clippers have in their rotation now.
It might mean they might have to start Lou Williams.
Or they could just go Milos and Rivers.
We'll see. Milos played yesterday. He's a little fragile. We'll see. We'll see what they do. A couple of interesting facts about Muscala. First one being, I've always nicknamed him Moose, right? Because that's kind of the obvious one.
Okay.
You know what the Atlanta Hawks broadcast team calls him?
Muscala?
Muskie.
Muskie. I like that.
Muskie.
Mr. Scent, Mr. Musk.
Yeah. But I don't hate it at all. I don't see the ceiling there to win a tournament. But, he certainly can get you, you know, 7 or 8x for sure. Particularly, like you said, against the second unit bigs of the Pacers. I mean, that's something you always want to go. Some more breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Tony Snell is now listed out,
okay,
which means very interesting for some Sterling Brown.
Okay.
Very interesting player there. Okay, we'll get to that in the Slack channel later on. So we didn't mention something that we always do, and that is centers versus Dallas.
Yep. I'm glad you mentioned, because I wanted to mention why I didn't mention it.
Go ahead.
Adams' history against Dallas is
poo-poo.
Brutal. Like, really bad. Like, I think he's got a ceiling of 32, and we know Adams is not a massive ceiling guy.
Right.
But, yeah, his recent history against the Mavs is not good. And it's crazy because OKC, one of the top rebounding teams in the NBA, Dallas, they are the worst rebounding team in the NBA.
Sure.
So the stats certainly lend way to have some optimism. But, yeah, the history against Dallas has not been there.
Yeah. So I don't mind the Len play now that he's under 5K. When he was spiked up there, I'm like, yeah, no way. But we'll see how it goes a little bit closer to lock. I think for now, he's a decent cash play. I'm not so thrilled with the matchup, like you said. And I think you might want to look elsewhere, maybe, for matchups. But for me, in cash games, I'm probably going to lock in Al Horford at his price and try to go get my studs up on top.
All right. I know we went dumpster diving, but anybody else here?
No, not really. That's pretty much – oh, actually, I shouldn't say that. So with Tice being ruled out, it's probably a tournament play. But the thing that I don't like about Baines is that he can get into some pretty quick foul trouble versus Dwight.
Sure.
And we might actually see over 20 minutes of Greg Monroe at minimum price from Boston. And we know when Greg Monroe plays, he produces insane fantasy points per minute numbers. So just something to think about. Let's see what other news we get out of Charlotte. But meaning if Dwight plays for sure, that I like Greg Monroe even more.
All right. One other guy I want to mention too. Since we mentioned Van Vliet, Jakob Poeltl, pretty consistent here over the last three games. Playing about 20 minutes there for the Raptors. Again, Orlando, second worst rebounding team in the NBA. This game could get ugly, so it could be Poeltl time.
Yeah, interesting way to pronounce his name. It's basically turtle with a P.
Yeah, Jakob Poeltl. I just go all in one. Like, to me, he's Madonna. Madonna. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right, terrible jokes end the pod, but we are done here. If you want to join the DFS Army, you can do so by going to dfsarmy.com. Use the promo code PODCAST. Get 10% off each month of your subscription. You can play around with that domination station we got, VIP articles and tools, and the Slack chat channel where you can chat with everybody else. You want to chat with us on Twitter, you could do so. You find me at 14a.walsh. You find Bear at Mr. Bear here. That'll do it. Any closing words before we get down to the nitty gritty tonight?
Any final words? No, I'll be doing notes tonight. I'll have an article out tonight.
Me too.
I'll be on Slack like I always am, pretty much all the time tonight. Enjoy the games and good luck.
Yes, indeed. All right. So for me, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army, we go. Bear out.
I'll talk to you.
All right, Mario. All right, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
See you, bud.
Bye.